I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about colonization. We're going to talk a little bit about the history of colonization and a lot of these modern arguments that are made. Now, the reason we're doing this program today is because of a story about a Muslim leader, a black American Muslim leader who's a former member of the Black Panthers, who was imprisoned for many years, and he is a Muslim. He was part of the Black Panther movement. He was released. His name was Sekou Odinga. Sekou Odinga, born Nathaniel Burns, is an American activist who was imprisoned for actions with the Black Liberation Army in the 1960s and 70s. At one point, he joins the Black Panther Party. All right, here's an article on it that says, a Black Panther who spent the last 30 years behind bars for his role in the deadly Brinks armored car robbery and for trying to kill six police officers during a Queens shootout was welcomed out of prison by family and friends at the National Black Theater Tuesday evening. And then the article goes on from there. Today, he is, or at least he was 70 years old when he was released. This was in 2014. So he was released in 2014 during the Obama administration. He's released from prison. Now here recently, 2017, he gives a speech at CUNY, which is the City University of New York, in which he states that Muslims and other oppressed groups have a right to armed struggle. And he specifically makes mention of armed struggle. That's the headline, by the way, at Jihad Watch. They have an article on this. And the reason I want to talk about this today in relationship to colonization is because this is a very common accusation that is made against America. It's made against the Western world. It's made against Christian civilization. That Christian people, the Puritans, the Pilgrims, the British Empire, etc., were all guilty of colonization. That was just so horrible. It was just so terrible. And this kind of thing. And so now the groups that have been supposedly victimized by colonization have a right to fight against the oppressor. And that's the context of what this guy Odinga is talking about. But I want to play a little bit of his speech from Memory TV. Memory, M-E-M-R-I. TV has a video of him giving this speech again at the City University of New York. Listen.
For the U.S. to acknowledge the existence of political prisoners and prisoners of war would be to admit that there are fundamental injustices that stem from the settler colonialism that built this country, that the internally oppressed nations, the indigenous people, New Africans, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, Hawaiians, etc., have the right to freedom and self-determination. They have a right to struggle using whatever tactics and strategies, armed and otherwise, for their self-defense and liberation.
Okay, and then he goes on from there, and of course you can listen to, you know, if you go to Jihad Watch, you can listen to more of his speech. It is an edited speech anyway, but you get the gist of what he's saying. He goes on repeatedly to talk about militant activity from the leftist perspective, that it is the responsibility of the left, he says at one point, to organize people, you know, to resist the oppressor, this kind of language that's being used, which is very Marxist, very communist kind of language. Now, the irony in all of this is that you're dealing with this incredible pack of lies, historically, just a pack of historic lies. And the fact that you've got this Muslim here, you got a black Muslim, not a word from this guy about the millions of Muslims, his fellow black Muslims over in Africa right now that are keeping millions of slaves. They've got reportedly more than 10 million slaves in the various countries across Africa. Saudi Arabia is still practicing slavery today. You can go online. There's a video even of a woman talking, she's a black woman, talking about how in Saudi Arabia, they still buy and sell women on the slave block, black women from Africa on the slave block. They still sell castrated men, black men who have been castrated. This is still going on in modern times, even though Saudi Arabia supposedly, technically, they gave up slavery back in the 1960s. It is generally believed that they still practice it even today. They just do it in a more covert manner. Now, these are facts that are provable beyond any reasonable doubt. Anybody can go and research these things. You can investigate them, brethren, and I would encourage you to do so. Don't take my word for it. You're gonna be more convicted about these things if you go and look into them, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And then the absurd and ridiculous hypocrisy of Muslims in this country. I mean, you got to be kidding me. And this guy is not the only one. You've got Muslims who become these leftist activists, and they're going around giving speeches talking about how America is oppressive because we won't allow more and more Muslim immigrants to come piling into this country. You've got to be kidding me. The Muslim countries of the world aren't taking any of them, or they're taking very few. Countries like Saudi Arabia are very, very restrained, very, very limited. The fact that Saudi Arabia won't allow any non-Muslim into the city of Mecca, I mean, that never dawns. Nobody ever calls that bigotry. Nobody ever calls it apartheid. Nobody ever says anything like that. It's perfectly acceptable. Oh, that's Islamic tradition. You have to respect that. So it's this whole idea that there should be a free-for-all in the Western world, and that Western countries should operate on a different standard, that we should respect what all the pagan countries of the world want, but they don't have to have any respect for America or Great Britain or any of the other historically Christian countries of the world. So it's an obvious hypocrisy and double standard. Now, what's incredible about this guy, Sekou Odinga, is that he was introduced here at, this was, according to the article here on Jihad Watch, says it was that the forum was held at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, CUNY, on June 2nd. Odinga claimed that the U.S. was using the war on terror and the xenophobic war on immigrants. A war on immigrants, really illegal immigrants coming to this country, not to mention the immigrants that want to come rushing here from the Middle East. Okay? The xenophobic war on immigrants to repress minorities and immigrant communities. Odinga, who served a long prison sentence for attempted murder and for RICO violations, was presented by moderator Laura Flanders as a former, quote, U.S.-held political prisoner of war, end quote. That's apparently how he was introduced, a U.S.-held political prisoner of war. And there's no question that he is framing his activities in a very militant political manner, and the people who support him have the same view. But what are they? What's their ambition? Here they are speaking against colonization. And he mentions a number of different groups. And these are things that we need to know, brethren. Let me tell you why this is important. These are the same kind of arguments that they have used to undermine and overthrow South Africa. South Africa used to be one of the most successful countries in the world. It has been in decline since the time of Nelson Mandela. The Christians who live there, who built that country, they're the ones who built it, developed it. They built the towns, the cities, the roads, the schools, the universities. They're the ones who developed it by the grace of God, and surely with the help of God, into one of the greatest countries in the world. But that country is being lost. It's being overthrown one step at a time, one step at a time. And if you listen to enough of the South African people, I had an opportunity, as I've told you, to interview Dr. Peter Hammond. He's going to appear in our upcoming film on the history of America, the Christian history of America, the true Christian history of America. But he and I had a chance to talk a little bit about the situation there in South Africa. But I've watched a number of interviews on this and other documentaries. There's no question. Communism is the real foe, the real enemy. And presenting a false version of history in that part of the world has had everything to do with ultimately undermining Christianity there. And now what's happened is the people who built the country are increasingly outcast. They are, their country's been taken over through deception and lies, and through this false version of history that supposedly they went there and stole the land from the indigenous people, which is not at all what happened. The land, according to the histories that I've seen, was vacant land. Nobody lived there. It was undeveloped land. Nobody occupied it. Centuries ago, when the Dutch Protestants arrived and they began to develop it. This is my understanding. If you know a different history, send it to me. But my understanding is you had Dutch Reformed Protestants. They went there and they had developed the land for about 100 years before any blacks came from other parts of Africa. Really, my understanding is they came looking for opportunities because the Christians had developed industry there. And so that's kind of how it all began, that relationship. But this whole thing has been distorted, misrepresented, false history has been given. The fact that the blacks are pagans there, many of them are cannibals, they're into witchcraft and all this other kind of stuff, all of which has been kept out of the media. And the Christians have just been portrayed as a bunch of racists, and that's their only concern. That's the only reason that they wanted any sort of separation from the blacks, not because this was a pagan people who had very violent customs and very dangerous customs, quite frankly. And that situation, we've seen repeated reports now of how they're talking about by force taking all the remaining land away from any of the whites that are still living there in South Africa. And so you've had predictions of absolute civil war that could erupt in that part of the world. And we should be in prayer for the people there because many of those people are Christians, brethren. And this is really, it's not really black versus white. It is Christianity versus communism, once you understand it. And a lot of those same elements are at work right here in our country. And we find the same things. We find false history, false accusations being made. Anybody and everybody is a racist who opposes the left wing. In fact, they recently called Alan Dershowitz a racist, who's a well-known liberal lawyer. In fact, I watched an interview with him, and Dershowitz even said, he said the way that they're, or he's talking about Maxine Waters in particular, he said the way that she uses this word and so on, he said, well, what did he say? He said, if everybody's a racist, then in reality, nobody's a racist. Words to that effect. I'm paraphrasing him. But he's right, because they don't really mean it. This is just a form of psychological warfare that they employ to try and undermine our country. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America. Our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We are talking about the truth of colonization within the context, really, of a parade of false accusations that have gone on, I think, for many years. I remember being raised up with that mentality that the colonization scheme was wrong and all this other kind of stuff. And then I remember when I first began to pursue Bible study years ago, listening to the teaching of a certain pastor, and he was a retired Air Force colonel, and he was preaching on British imperialism. He either used the term British imperialism or British colonization, one or the other. But anyway, he said, friend, whoever you are, you've been told that British imperialism or British colonization was this horrible, evil thing. He said, friend, I'm here to tell you, British colonization was one of the greatest gifts that God ever gave to mankind. And then he went on from there. And he talked about the fact that the British, because they went forth as they were establishing colonies, they were establishing colonies for the purpose of teaching Christianity throughout the world, bringing Christianity, God's morality, and the Bible to the heathen nations. That was their cause, at least according to this pastor's interpretation of it. And so wherever the British army went, the gospel went with them. The Bible went with them. And this is what transformed many parts of the world. And those parts of the world, including the United States, by the way, became the best, the freest, the most successful countries anywhere, by and large, the most successful countries in the world for the last 100 to 200 years are countries that were developed by Christian people. That's the reality, brethren. Now, of course, they don't want you to know that. They certainly don't want your kids to know that in school. And so they have been brainwashing our children, just like they brainwashed many of us when we were going through school back in the 1970s and 80s and so on, and some of you through the 1990s, etc. But this is all the result of Marxist propaganda. The communists are in our system, and they are teaching systematic lies to the people. So here you've got this guy who's giving this speech. Here he is, a black Muslim. Is he aware? Or would he acknowledge that Islam has enslaved 90% of all the blacks in history? That's according to both black and white historians, by the way. And some say the number is higher. I've seen at least one historian say that it's closer to 95%. But let's just go with a more conservative 90%. It's unbelievable. And yet somehow or other, the fact that Islam is the chief slaver throughout the last 1,000 years of history. And that's by and large swept under the carpet, even though it's factually provably true. And there's more and more people who are figuring this out. In fact, I've seen two interviews with black leaders who talk about this and how it's, you know, there's been all this exposure, all this talk about the Americans practicing slavery and this kind of thing. And the fact that Islam is far, far more guilty is swept under the carpet. And even now, Islam is being presented as though it is oppressed. It represents an oppressed group rather than people who are going around raping, robbing, murdering virtually every day somewhere in the world. There is some kind of a jihadi attack going on somewhere. And yet this is by and large covered up, swept aside. Now, what the globalists are really having a problem with, brethren, is they are having a problem with independent media. They're having a problem with the internet. They're having a problem with independent journalism, independent websites. Freedom of speech is probably their biggest problem right now. And they make use of it so they can promote their propaganda. But then, on the other hand, they resent it because so many of their lies are being exposed by people who are not willing to just sit there and check their brain at the door. And we thank the Lord. I mean, I thank the Lord that he has given us an avenue to get the truth out to the people. Now, I believe the internet is, and you got to watch this stuff with the internet. And they're, thankfully, you've got a lot of people who are insisting that the internet must remain free. And they're very, very adamant about that because they know that the globalists want to find a way to crack down on it. They want to find a way to repress it. But the internet is kind of like freedom of the press. That's how I see it. You study what happened with the Reformation and how once the printing press with movable type came in, that transformed Europe and much of the world. Because now the Inquisition that had been in the habit of burning Bibles and burning any writings that confronted the papacy and the corruptions of Rome and the nobles that worked with them and so on, that exposed all of this. Those writings were burned. They were destroyed typically very quickly. And it's incredible you study it. It's incredible how effective the Inquisition was at destroying whole groups of, you know, writings and so on, so that of certain groups, there's very, like the Waldenses and the Albigenses, we have very few of their writings have survived. But then once the printing press comes along and people like Luther and William Tyndale and Erasmus and others were publishing not only Bibles, they were publishing Bibles, but then they were teaching people about the Bible and speaking out against the ungodliness and the unrighteousness and so on. And their pamphlets and so on could be spread by the thousands throughout the countries. And this is what really turned things upside down. Okay, I think it was the Bible primarily first, but then with that, the fact that people were able to communicate, they were able to talk, to teach, and to proclaim the truth in a variety of different ways to the common people. And it one by one changed the hearts of men. People became enlightened, I think, by the word of God and by godly teaching. That's what I think happened. It's why I think, brethren, as believers in Christ, we've got a responsibility. If God has given us a voice and he's given us the opportunity to teach, to speak out, to proclaim the truth to others, to tell people about, one, to tell them about the gospel. That's the most important thing. Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, that's the most important thing, brethren. But what's happening is the anti-Christian powers are working overtime. I mean, there's no question about that. Socialism, communism, and Islam all represent the powers of Antichrist. No question about that. They've tried to make this about race and this kind of thing, and one culture versus another. The reality is, when you have Christian people who believe the Bible, who walk in the fear of God and they believe the Bible, there's, I think, a wonderful unity that happens. The only true unity that we have is going to be through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the fulfillment of the promise that God gave to Abraham. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And of course, we learn in the New Testament that Christ is the seed of Abraham. And the nations are all the various races or ethnicities of mankind. But again, all are blessed and all can come to salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the promise of God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.